Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Mental Health Conference Topic. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center Internal Medicine residents will present the fourth in a series of Por Su Salud conferences at 7 p.m. Thursday over Zoom. Dr. Nelson Atahortua, one of the partners of this project, will speak about mental health in COVID times. Zoom link https://ttuhsc.zoom.us/j/99649325412. Empty Stocking. Want to help? Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800, Odessa, or the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, 79761. Donate online at https://give.salvationarmytexas.org/give/371871/pound!donation/checkout. Want to know more? Call 332-0738. What is it? The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Empty Stocking Funds enable the Salvation Army to provide toys and food baskets to needy families in Odessa. This year's goal is $100,000. Death Notices. Deborah Bohannon, Midland. Deborah Bohannon, 70, of Midland, died Tuesday, November 23rd, in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 3rd at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Amparo Galindo, Midland. Amparo Galindo, 75, of Midland, Texas, died Thursday, November 25th, in Midland, Texas. Chapel service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Tuesday, November 30th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Vernon Jensen, Midland. Vernon Jensen, 77, died Saturday, November 27th, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Monty Clay Smith, Odessa. Monty Clay Smith, 63, died Thursday, November 25th, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Nelda J. Banks Williams, Odessa. Nelda J. Banks Williams, 83, of Odessa, died Monday, November 22nd, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. Tuesday, November 23rd, at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Reverend Darren Willis is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. WHO warns that new virus variant poses very high risk. Geneva. The World Health Organization warned Monday that the global risk from the Omicron variant is very high based on the early evidence, saying the mutated coronavirus could lead to surges with severe consequences. The assessment from the UN Health Agency, contained in a technical paper issued to member states, amounted to WHO's strongest, most explicit warnings yet about the new version that was first identified days ago by a researcher in South Africa. It came as a widening circle of countries around the world reported cases of the variant and moved to slam their doors in an act now, ask questions later approach, while scientists race to figure out just how dangerous the mutant version may be. Japan announced it is barring entry to all foreign visitors, joining Israel in doing so. Morocco banned all incoming flights. Other countries, including the U.S. and members of the European Union, have moved to prohibit travelers arriving from South Africa, who said there are considerable uncertainties about the Omicron variant, but it said preliminary evidence raises the possibility that the variant has mutations that could help it both evade an immune system response and boost its ability to spread from one person to another. Depending on these characteristics, there could be future surges of COVID-19, which could have severe consequences depending on a number of factors, including where surges may take place, it added. The overall global risk is assessed as very high. The WHO stressed that while scientists are hunting evidence to better understand this variant, countries should accelerate vaccinations as quickly as possible. While no deaths linked to Omicron have been reported so far, little is known for certain about the variant, including whether it is more contagious, more likely to cause serious illness, or more able to evade vaccines. Last week, a WHO advisory panel said it might be more likely to reinfect people who have already had a bout with COVID-19. Spain on Monday became one of the latest countries to report its first confirmed Omicron case, detected in a traveler who returned Sunday from South Africa after making a stopover in Amsterdam. While the vast majority of infections recorded around the world have been in travelers arriving from abroad, cases in Portugal and Scotland have raised fears that the variant may already be spreading locally. Many of us might think we are done with COVID-19. It's not done with us, warned Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, WHO's director general. Days after the variant sent a shudder through the financial world, nearly 2 years into the pandemic that has killed over 5 million people, markets had a mixed reaction Monday. European stocks rebounded and the Wall Street opened higher, while Asian markets fell further. U.S. President Joe Biden called the Omicron variant a cause for concern, but not a cause for panic. He said he is not considering any widespread U.S. lockdown and instead urged mask wearing and vaccinations, even as a federal judge blocked his administration from enforcing a requirement that thousands of healthcare workers in 10 states get the shot. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, reacted to the potential threat by urging everyone 18 and older to get booster shots because strong immunity will likely prevent serious illness. Earlier this month, the U.S. opened boosters to all adults, but recommended them only for those 50 and older or people with long-term care. The Omicron infections have underscored the difficulty in keeping the virus in check in a globalized world of jet travel and open borders, yet many countries are trying to do just that, against the urging of the WHO, who noted that border closings often have limited effect and can wreak havoc on lives and livelihoods. Some have agreed that such restrictions can buy valuable time to analyze the new variant. While the initial global response to COVID-19 was criticized as slow and haphazard, the reaction to the Omicron variant came quickly. This time the world showed it is learning, said EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, singling out South African President Cyril Ramaphosa for praise. South Africa's analytical work and transparency and sharing its results was indispensable in allowing a swift global response. Late last week, von der Leyen successfully pushed the 27-nation EU to agree to ban flights from 7 southern African nations, similar to what many other countries are doing. Cases have been reported in such places as Canada, Germany, Britain, Belgium, Denmark, the Netherlands, and Portugal, where authorities identified 13 Omicron infections among members of the Belenenses professional soccer team. Taking no chances, Japan, which has yet to detect any Omicron cases, reimposed border controls that it had eased earlier this month. We are taking the step as an emergency precaution to prevent a world case scenario in Japan, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said. Israel likewise decided to bar entry to foreigners, and Morocco said it would suspend all incoming flights for 2 weeks. Britain reacted by expanding its COVID-19 booster program to everyone 18 and older, making millions more people eligible. Up until now, booster shots were available only for those 40 and under and people particularly vulnerable to the virus. The UK has reported about a dozen Omicron cases. Despite the global worry, doctors in South Africa are reporting patients are suffering mostly mild symptoms so far, but they warn that it is early. Also, most of the new cases are in people in their 20s and 30s who generally do not get as sick from COVID-19 as older patients. The variant has provided further proof of what experts have long been saying, that no continent will be safe until the whole globe has been sufficiently vaccinated. The more the virus is allowed to spread, the more opportunities it has to mutate.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, education section. Department Chair Strives to Serve Others by Rebecca Bell. Midland College Knows How to Celebrate Others, Betty Clements, Department Chair of Languages, Speech, and Communications, said. That's one of the things that made me love this college. Clements said these words shortly after she received the 2021 Teaching Excellence Award on November 19th. At the event, her fellow employees celebrated her expertise in teaching and genuine concern for students. I'm not just a teacher. I serve and interact with students on a daily basis, and that's what makes me happy. I'm a servant teacher. My job is to understand where students are and then help them reach their goals. Teaching is about building relationships. The idea of relationship building is one of the things that William Feeler, Dean of Fine Arts and Communications, said makes Betty a truly exceptional faculty member. Miss Clements is a person who shows love and respect for all around her. As the cleaning lady said, she's cool. Clements has been teaching since she was a little girl. I have 12 brothers and sisters. I'm the fourth oldest. Growing up, I would gather all my younger siblings together and force them to be my students, whether they liked it or not. I created lessons and used old textbooks given to my father by the local principal. I handed out paper and pencils and made them raise their hands to talk and answer questions. I knew very early in life that teaching was my passion. Clements grew up in Monroe, Louisiana, in a working-class family. Her father was a school custodian. We were poor but resourceful. My parents owned their own house, and we always had a big garden. The garden helped to provide food for us, as well as neighbors and friends. Whenever anyone was down on their luck and needed food, my father was quick to respond with fresh vegetables from our garden. He instilled in all of his children the importance of helping others. He said that we all have something to give in order to be a blessing to others. Clements was the first person in her family to receive a college degree. Immediately after high school, she attended the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff on an academic scholarship. I didn't know anything about college, and since my parents and older siblings hadn't gone to college, I had no one to help show me the ropes. I remember my first day in freshman English class. It was a 7 a.m. class, and there were about 14 students in the class. The professor's name was Mrs. Fuller. The first thing she said was, "I'm known as Flunking Fuller. No one makes an A in my class." I was terrified. I remember thinking that maybe college wasn't for me. I stuck it out, and while I made A's in other classes, Mrs. Fuller was true to her word. I only made a B in her class, but I passed. Clements said that she still remembers that terrible first day of college and tries to give her students a different experience. We never know what students are experiencing or their backgrounds, and when a student enters the classroom, their entire background enters the classroom and impacts how they learn and grow. I thought I did not belong in college from my experience in Mrs. Fuller's class. Students need to feel a sense of belonging, and it is created through communication and relationships. How I communicate with them can impact whether or not they continue in their academic journeys. Learning is rational, relational. Therefore, it's important for me to know my students so that I can help guide them through my class. It doesn't mean I have to lower my standards. It just means that I have to help students meet those standards in a way that is not intimidating or threatening. There is a way to be firm and also communicate concern. Clements is in her fifth year of teaching at Midland College, and Feeler said she has been one of the greatest assets of the Fine Arts and Communications Division. She's conscientious, fun, dedicated, and innovative. She made a huge impression her first semester by agreeing to go to Greenwood High School to teach dual credit speech classes on their campus. Then she won the hearts of both the students and the principal by going to their evening basketball games. Clement still teaches dual credit speech courses in Greenwood and said she loves the Greenwood community. Feeler said that her work in Greenwood has done much to cement Midland College's relationship with the community and even to help in the expansion of dual credit classes. This past spring, Clements coordinated and led Midland College's first online diversity conference and is pursuing this topic for a doctoral dissertation in educational administration at Carolina University. "I will always have an interest in diversity," she said. "However, I'm not interested in how diversity highlights differences, but rather how it can bring people together. Differences shouldn't separate us. We need to work together. My goal for the diversity conference was to give students and employees a safe space to address differences and then work together for common goals. Growing up, my parents never made it seem like because we were African American, we were different from others. It was not uncommon for us to have people that were not African American at our dinner table. That's where I learned that we had more in common than we had differences." Clement said that she can relate to many community college students because even though she started her college career as a traditional student, she finished as a mother of three small children when she was in her 30s. "During my sophomore year of college, I became pregnant and dropped out. It was more than a decade later before I enrolled at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. By that time, I was married, and my husband worked to support our family while I pursued my dream of obtaining a college education. Our children were in grade school at the time, so the children and I would compare grades and sit at the kitchen table and study together. We motivated each other, and it helped to hold each other accountable. When she was finishing her bachelor's degree, one of her professors encouraged her to get her master's degree. So she continued to earn a master's degree and became a graduate teaching assistant. Since that time, she's held numerous teaching positions at Southern University at Shreveport, Baton Rouge Community College, and most recently, before coming to Midland College, at West Georgia Technical College in Atlanta. I love Midland," Clement said. "It's the first time I've lived out of the Deep South, but I couldn't ask for a better place to work than Midland College. From the minute I accepted the job, everybody embraced me. When I came to Midland, it was during an oil boom, and I had a hard time locating an apartment. Catherine Allen, who was then the department chair, offered to allow me to stay with her until I could find a place. Vivian and Kent Moss, retired music and photography professors, took me out to lunch and invited me to their church. Immediately, I knew that Midland was where I belonged." In the past 5 years, since Clement has been at Midland College, she's made a lasting impression. Miss Clement's quickly gained a reputation as a superb teacher and a favorite of students. Then she became department chair upon the retirement of Catherine Allen. She's recognized as an excellent leader by all her faculty members. When I proposed to her that we use speech 13-1315 as a co-requisite credit course with students taking developmental reading, she immediately jumped on board, working with both speech and reading faculty members to make the program a great success. In fact, I believe we were the first program in Texas to reach 100% co-requisite status in the developmental program. Clements arrived at Midland College with the goal of starting an honors speech club on campus. She accomplished that in her second year and now leads a very active organization. When the COVID pandemic forced Midland College professors to change teaching styles, Clements was one of the first to begin using a combination of virtual and traditional classroom teaching in the fall of 2020 by simply opening her classroom to those students who wish to attend class on campus rather than virtually. Betty shows her dedication to students and to her job through her availability, even answering her phone in the summer when not teaching or on weekends when she's out of town. When asked to meet a new challenge, to help others to do more, to go the extra mile, to serve on a committee or to be a confidant, to give attention to a student, Ms. Clements knows only one answer, a resounding yes. Effort helps Bowie grow learning opportunities. Colgate Energy, Keep Midland Beautiful, team up to gift garden to elementary students. Students at Bowie Elementary are enthusiastic about planting and science projects. That's why Keep Midland Beautiful, in partnership with Colgate Energy, constructed an outdoor planting area earlier this month. Colgate Energy agreed to purchase the materials needed for the project and provide employees to help install the materials. This new planting area will allow students to plant flowers and vegetables, study their growth, and enjoy the fruits of their efforts at harvest time. When students get involved in planting and gardening, the programs are much more successful because the kids want to see results and do something positive for the environment, and the motivation spreads to the adults in their lives as well, Director Doreen Womack said in a press release. We are truly excited about this partnership with Colgate Energy and Bowie Elementary, and we are extremely grateful to Colgate for making this gift to the school possible. KMB and Colgate Energy stated they were excited about their partnership that makes the presentation of this garden that includes drip irrigation possible because environmental education is a priority for both groups. John Bell, Senior Vice President of Colgate Energy, added, partnering with Keep Midland Beautiful and Bowie Elementary is a great way for Colgate to give back to our community financially and personally. We look forward to working with Keep Midland Beautiful and local elementary schools in spearheading similar projects in the future. Agave Garden in Midland supplies some of the materials for this project at Bowie Elementary.
Diabetes complicates COVID risks. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 67-year-old male who was recently diagnosed with diabetes. I have had both Moderna doses for COVID-19. I have read all along that people with diabetes are at much higher risk for the complications with COVID-19, and have read that the breakthrough infections, for the most part, are not nearly as severe as those for non-vaccinated people. For those who have been vaccinated, have there been any studies showing the breakthrough infections are very dangerous for those with diabetes? DS. Answer. There are two ways I could answer this question. The first is to say that for people who are fully vaccinated, having diabetes makes you both more susceptible to a breakthrough infection and makes you more likely to have a more severe case. This is why it is important even for vaccinated people to continue to make reasonable precautions as long as there is ongoing transmission in your community. This is especially true for all people with risk factors such as older age and immune system disease. Both obesity and diabetes are additional risk factors. The second way to answer this is to say that even with additional risk factors, the vaccine is still highly protective. The risk of severe disease, death, or hospitalization is still very low, even for people over 65 with diabetes, as long as they are fully vaccinated. I'll advise you to get a third dose of vaccine when you are able to. usually 6 months after completing your second Moderna dose.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman tries to balance life with two mothers. Dear Abby, I have two mothers, my biological mother and mom who raised me. I share everything with mom, my hopes, fears, dreams, and everything in between. My biological mother and I are not as close. We never have been. I don't have a single good childhood memory with her in it. Lately, my bio mother has been extremely jealous of my relationship with mom, even though she has never done anything to facilitate the same relationship with me. She's pushy and constantly oversteps boundaries. Because of this, when I found out I was pregnant, I chose not to tell her. I'm now 36 weeks pregnant, and someone adjacent to my inner circle has informed her of my pregnancy and due date. She contacted my family, fuming about my not telling her, insisting she had a right to know. I feel this is her, once again feeling entitled to my life and trying to treat me as property. I do not feel she is entitled to any details about my life. Am I wrong? Signed, Guarded in Illinois. Dear Guarded, you are not wrong, and I can see why you are feeling invaded. You are entitled to privacy if you want it. Your birth mother is entitled only to those details of your life you are willing to share with her. When did you intend to share the happy news with her? After the birth? You may need to distance yourself from the person who gave your birth mother the news if you want to avoid similar breaches in the future. Dear Abby, I'm writing about anxious about alcohol in Georgia, August 30th. The teen who was torn between his parents' views on alcohol as he prepares for his first year of college. In Colorado, Georgia, and many other states, minors are prohibited from possessing and drinking alcohol, with an important exception. That is, doing it in the presence of and under the supervision of their parents in their home. I'm not condoning reckless behavior, but when I was growing up, my parents let us try beer and wine at an early age. It was pretty strong, and we didn't like it. We were never encouraged to get drunk or use it to excess, but we learned about it, tasted it, and understood the good and bad when dealing with alcohol. I believe that is why my sisters and I never had issues. We have always been responsible, and I'm convinced this is a responsible way to introduce alcohol to a minor. We gain knowledge through experience. Having that experience in a safe environment with proper guidance and supervision is a must. Better to learn with a responsible parent than a frat brother you just met. Agree? Signed, Alan in Colorado. Dear Alan, yes, I do. And thank you for pointing out that provision in the law. Many other readers echoed your sentiments about demystifying the allure of alcohol by introducing it in the home under parental supervision. It could prevent some young people from going wild the minute they reach the campus. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.